Hello everyone, and we are today in Parashat, this week in Parashat Yitro, and you can find it in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, verse 1. It's not a long Parashah, but it's very, very much loaded with a lot of wisdom, especially that this is the Parashah of Mount Sinai, Revelation and Aseret HaDibrot, known by mistake as the Ten Commandments. Okay, why known by mistake as the Ten Commandments? So let me go back to the beginning of the time of the Shovavim. During the weeks that are called Shovavim, which are the initials, basically, of the Parashot, the names of the Parashot, we are reading during the story of the Exodus. So this week, it's the fifth of them, the fifth week, and we started with Parashat Shmot. So that includes Moses being born to a nation of slaves in Egypt, the hardship of the slavery, the torture, the killing of the baby boys, and the killing of the rest. And then Moses grows up in the house of Pharaoh, and the whole story goes on and on and on. And the message around it, as we said a few times, is that the same way we read those parashot every year again, it is to show that every year we are having during that time of the year another opportunity to rise above all the mistakes, all the faults, all the disasters and the blockages that prevent us from being the person, each one of us, from being the person we want to become. Now, why is that important? Because A, we are never happy since as long as we are not connected to our own real calling. So the moment we are busy with all kinds of distractions, which means either with pain and suffering or with false desires that are not really our true desires, as long as we are connected to that, we can never be happy because we always feel a lack. We always feel something is missing. That story starts from the sin of Adam. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, we were, all of us, all of humanity, we were part of it because we were like cells. Each one of us was a cell in Adam and Eve. The fall of Adam created the chaos that we experience today. And our job is basically to correct the fall of Adam and create harmony and unity all over again. That's basically, in a nutshell, the story of human history. Okay? Now, if you don't understand what I just said, you have to start studying Kabbalah from the beginning. Okay? Now, if you already know some Kabbalah and you understand what does it mean, and we understand that in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, it says very clearly, 10 times it says, and God said, let there be. How did he say? There was no space to say through. Does he have a mouth? Who was there to listen? And if there was no one there to listen, did he really say anything? Okay, many questions. What the Kabbalists explain, you know, the Zohar, all the other commentators, it's not just speaking. There was nobody to speak to. But the 10 sayings through which the world is being created, we're talking about 10 emanations. These are the 10 sefirot, illuminations of the tree of life. So the whole of the creation is based on 10 emanations, illuminations. And all what we see is basically the light of God being projected through all kinds of forces called creatures, objects, parts of the creation, that all of them have one purpose and one only, which is the will of the Creator to share pleasure with his creatures, us. Now, in order to receive the pleasure, as we learned, you cannot force people to feel pleasure. Why? We were created in his image, and being in the image of the Creator means you can't stand other people's favors, nobody's favors. You need to be the cause of all the greatness that you achieve. Otherwise, you never feel it's yours. And therefore, we got free will. And that free will gives us the opportunity, the ability to experience challenges and to rise up to the occasion and to create our own light by overcoming challenges. Adam and Eve failed. The result that is that the story became more complicated, and humanity that was came out after Adam and Eve was going down and down and down the steps till all of these 10 illuminations of the Tree of Life have been so much blocked that humans were basically zombies. People were just subjected to cruelty, and the symbol is the slavery in Egypt. The fact that the ruler can give an order to kill all the male born, that he can take a whole nation and enslave them in a genocide, in a big genocide system, concentration camps, Pitom and Ramses. If you just read the book of Shemot, just the beginning, the first parasha. Okay? And that's okay. That means darkness. That means there's no light, no shining, no pleasure. There's only fear and subjugation to cruelty and of very few people. Now, the whole story of the Exodus is basically the story of humanity. How do we release ourselves from the bondage of darkness, which is all kind of different forces and states of mind, belief systems, knowledge that we have that lead us to live miserable life because we are really away from who we should be. Understanding that, we know that 10 plagues that were inflicted over the Egyptian empire were basically, according to the Kabbalists, 10 different levels of plagues, which means forces that have been applied from above over the empire of darkness and cruelty, Egypt, in order to release human souls to freedom, which means the darkness was so strong that there was no free will. You could not choose compassion over cruelty, love over hate. There was no way. Humanity was in a state of mind of being zombies, simply being totally subjugated, slaves to negative thinking, okay? The deliverance out of Egypt is basically the deliverance of the idea of free will. The potential to have free will, to choose light over darkness, to choose love over hatred. That was the whole Torah, the five books of Moses, and that's the whole thing about the five books of Moses. It's not just about legalities and religion. That's nothing. That's not the real thing. It's only cover up that our brain is trying to give to it as part of that aspect of every human being, that we still have the dark part. I want to say it's only a religion. It's only history, nothing to do with me. Who cares about it? Okay, no, we are talking about the process of redemption that started from the moment Adam and Eve fell. From that moment, Plan B came into power. And what is Plan B? Humanity must reach within a certain amount of time, that's not the place over to get into it, must go through a process of little by little growing up, maturity, achieving ideas, knowledge, that, and the belief system that allow people to choose to be creators, to be illuminated. Okay, that's the whole story. Now, the 10 plagues basically removed 10 huge forces of darkness. And every year when we read the parashot of Bo, and before that Vayera in Bo, which describe the 10 plagues, it is for us an injection of power like it was some 33 centuries ago in Egypt, in order to give us another option to move up the ladder of evolution towards illumination. Now, the result of the 10 plagues and the journey the Israelites did in the desert for 7 weeks after the 10th plague, from the 10th plague till Mount Sinai, Revelation, 7 weeks. Those 7 weeks were 7 stages of basically transforming those people who were slaves for centuries, into people of an awareness of free will and a real illuminated state of mind. And the result was that when, as we read, when the Israelites come to Mount Sinai, and as it says so, they already were in a state of total spiritual awareness. And we learn that when we see how the people stand there as one soul, one nation, one heart. Okay, as it says, Vayichan, okay, that's chapter 19, verse 2. Vayisu mirefidim vayavo midbar Sinai vayachanu bamidbar. And they traveled from Refidim and they came to the Sinai desert and they camped, in plural, in the desert. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. And then it says, and he, the name Israel, camped in single, he, in front of the mount. And what does it mean? Vayichan sham Israel, you're talking about the nation, should be they camped. Why? And Rashi says, that's from the Mechilta, Vayichan sham Israel, keish echad belev echad, like one person, one heart. Okay? So, because they arrived to that place of one person, one heart, the result was the opening, the heavens open up, and then there was a revelation, what is called Mount Sinai revelation. Part of the revelation was what people saw, as it says, and they saw the voices, they saw the sounds, and they saw what is called the 10 Eser HaDibrot. Remember, in Genesis chapter 1, it was Asara Ma'amarot, 10 sayings. Eser Dibot means also in Hebrew, 10 sayings, never commandments. In Hebrew, commandments are Tzavim. So it should be Asara Tzavim. It does not say Tzavim. It says Dibot, which means sayings. Okay, utterances. So basically what the Zohar is saying, the light of the creation that was blocked for so many years because of human negative activities, negative thoughts, desires, and misbehavior have been unblocked And as the deep suffering in Egypt and the 10 plagues, then the 7 weeks of working in the desert, and finally the unity that basically activated that revelation that revealed to humanity the original light of creation all over again. And therefore, what was revealed on Mount Sinai is the Torah that includes, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, all the way till the end of the book of Deuteronomy. So the Torah is not history, not a religion, nothing like this. It is also, but it's more a revelation of our which means of all the tools of reconnecting all of us, all of humanity, back to the source, which means the tools of total redemption from any kind of pain and suffering is encompassed, concentrated in that what is called Mount Sinai revelation that came out finally as the 5 books of Moses. Okay, now, how we, on this week, understand and connect to that consciousness, because every human being wants to be redeemed. Every human being wants to be happy, wants to feel connected to his inner core, inner desires, and feel accomplishment and fulfillment that are true, lasting fulfillment. How do we do that? It's all in this these parashot, and there is a concentration, especially in this parasha of Parashat Yitro. Now, how do we get it out from the Zohar? The Torah itself, the story of this parasha, as we said, it started in chapter 18, verse 1, and it starts, Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe. And Yitro, Jethro, the priest of Midian, the father-in-law of Moses, heard whatever God did to Moses and the nation of Israel. He heard about the exodus that God took Israel outside of Egypt. So, verse 2, Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe Tzipora, so Yitro, the father-in-law of Moses, takes Tzipora, Moses' wife, that during all of that struggle between Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh and his warlocks, Tzipora was safe at home with her father in Midian. Why? So she cannot be taken hostage in order to threaten Moses with their two sons. Okay, so that's how it starts. And then the second part of the parasha is the story of Mount Sinai revelation. And the question is, A, why these two stories must be together? And the whole parasha, the parasha of the climax of the whole Torah, the climax of human history, that story, that climax is being named after Yitro, Jethro. What's wrong with that? And the answer, we will see, we'll read in the Zohar. So, we said like this. I'm reading in the Zohar of Parashat Yitro, Perusha Sulam, verse 9. Tachazi, come and see. Barazat Kedusha Yu Melech VeKohen UMeshamesh Techotei. In the level, in the secret of holiness, there is the symbolism of a king, a priest, Kohen, and the one who serves them. Ben Leila Ben Letata. The same way that a normal system has a king, a priest, and so on, all of this structure, okay? You see over here somehow separation of church and state. The Kohen cannot be the king, and the king cannot be the Kohen. But you see also that it says as well, Bein le'ela benetata. It's above and below. It melech le'ela. Diyu raza de kodesh kodeshim. There is the king above, the heavenly king, which is the secret of the holy of holies. We're talking basically on a spiritual frequency that is called the holy of holies. Diyu melech ila, and is also the divine king. And v'tchotoy diyu raza, kohen raza de'or kadma, and is also the kohen, which is the initial light of love and mercy, the kamishamesh kamei, that serves under him. V'dahiyu kohen deikre gadol, that's why it's called kohen gadol. Kohen means in Hebrew. Really, kohen comes from the word lechahen, which means to serve. Okay? It is translated as a priest, but the kohen is a servant, civil servant. He's there to serve the creator and to serve his creatures. Okay, and he's called Kohen Gadol because Gadol means big, but in Hebrew, it means also chesed, loving kindness. Sitra Dimina, which is the right column. Okay, so we're talking about the structure of the Olamot. So when we are talking about the upper king, we're talking about the Sefirah of Bina, which is the source of life in the tree of life. Underneath the Sefirat Chesed, that's the high priest, okay, which is on the right side. The same way, we will have as above, so below. We will have in the physical world, when we want to have a holy kingdom, which means a society that is functional, okay? Functional, you need to have a king, which is like the king of above, and you need to have underneath, you need to have the priest also. Now, as the biblical law is about. That's, so verse 11, Besitra Acha, the love you sitra de kedusha. What about the other side? In order for us to have free will, we need in this world to have two sides, light and darkness, truth and lies, okay? And that's called the other side. Otherwise, you don't have free will. You need to have evil inclination and good inclination, okay? You need to have the dark side of the body and you need to have the soul. That's how we have free will, otherwise we don't. Okay, so as we said, the same way, in the dark side, in the other side, there is a king which is called Melech Zaken Uchsil, an old and foolish king. This is the evil inclination. Why is he foolish? Because, you know, when we listen to him, usually it doesn't serve always. It doesn't serve our interest for the long run. Behaving in a selfish manner always gets us away from our true goal, to be an enlightened creature, a creature of enlightenment and spiritual manifestation, okay? And under the king, that king, which is called the evil inclination, which is all our drives of what we call as foolish ego, lust, and all of those habits that we have that take us away from our goals of becoming better and better all the time. And underneath the evil inclination, there is the dark side that is also called, as we said, the king. Okay, we have the king, and the king is the evil inclination. The same way, there is also a priest on the light side. There is on the dark side, it's called Kohen On, the priest of evil. And that power of evil On שולט על מעשה ההוא שעשה ירובעם. He is the one that makes it successful. When people choose the dark side, they have, in the beginning, a lot of power, a lot of satisfaction. You know, otherwise, there's no seduction. If you choose the dark side and immediately you feel the darkness, so who would choose the dark side anymore? But in the, when you choose the dark side, there is a fulfillment that you get in the beginning. Only later on comes the morning after. But that energy that you get as it, as an illusion of success, that energy is called the Kohen, the priest of evil. Kohen on. And without this power, אם לא היה נמצא כוח הזה, לא היה יכול להצליח במסעו. So we know a lot of empires, of evil, that subjugated people, enslaved them, robbed them, murdered them, took whatever they had, and they made it for a while, till they collapsed. We know ourselves, we do evil stuff, we know it's evil, still we have pleasure. Where is this pleasure coming from? That's from the priest of evil, Kohen On. So now, in order, and then the Zohar gives us an amazing secret. Who was Yitro? Jethro, Yitro, the father-in-law of Abraham, he was the greatest priest in that generation of evil on the physical level. He was the high priest of all arts of darkness, which means if there is any way to connect to darkness, either worshiping in the physical realm, Yitro was the master of all of these. Okay? He was the master. He mastered it. And that's why he was famous in all over the world as the priest of evil. Okay? So what the Torah is saying to us, when we start the parasha and it says, Vayishma Yitro Kohen On, and Yitro, the Kohen of Midian, he heard whatever God did to Moshe, Moses and Israel's nation, that God took Israel out of Egypt, and he comes to Moses in the desert. And as they meet, and he meets with Moses and the elders of Israel, and verse 9 in chapter 18, ויחד יתרו על כל הטובה אשר עשה אדוני לישראל אשר יצאו מיד מצרים. And יתרו was very happy about all what happened to Israel. Okay? And he says, verse 11, אתה ידעתי כי גדול אדוני מכל העולים. Now I know that Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, is the greatest of all forces, all gods. Okay? So Yitro at that moment, basically, change is changing side. Okay? So the Zohar continues. Verse 12 in the Zohar Asulam. סוד הדבר, בשעה שהמלך הזה וכהן הזה, בסתרי אחר נכנעים ונשברים, when the king of evil and the priest of evil, when they submit and subjugate and break, then everybody else is able to connect to God and to be thankful to him. Only then God will be the only ruler above and below. As it says, ונשגב השם לבדו ביום ההוא. Isaiah chapter 2, and God will be above everything on that day of redemption. Okay, so what's in it for us? Basically, the Zohar is teaching us that if we want to achieve any true, real revelation, we need to take the path of breaking the dark side in a way that the dark side will be converted, like Yitro, to be connected, thankful to the light of the creation and to the values of the creator. This is a condition in order to reveal the second half of the parasha. And what is the second half of the parasha? The second half of the parasha is Mount Sinai Revelation. You can read it in the Torah itself. But if you go to the Zohar is an amazing description. And there are two ways we can look at it. There's a lot, and I don't want to waste a lot of time on that. But there's a long, long Zohar. We can start. You can read it in the Zohar Parashat Yitro, if you have it. But it says it's all about that part in the Torah that says, towards the end, of the revelation, okay, chapter 20, verse 15. V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot ve'et ha'lapidim. And the whole nation see the voices. You don't see voices. You hear voices. And the torches, and they see the sound of the shofar ve'et ha'ar ha'shen, and they see the smoke over the mount. Vayam, and they all had awe, and they moved and they stood afar because it was so awesome. Okay, let us go to the Zohar explanation of what happened over there about the same verse that we just read. So I'm going to just read part of it. It's a, if you have the Zohar in English and you can read it, it's amazing. But I'll just start in the Sulam, verse 3:12. Tanya Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda Amar. We learn that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, said, Ra'u kan Israel, and the nation of Israel, so, ma shelo ra'a Yechezkel ben Buzi. Okay, one of the greatest revelations that is always been mentioned is the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 1 in the book of Ezekiel, speaks about the revelation of the chariot of Ezekiel. Ezekiel has an amazing revelation of the godly features of the heavenly world. Okay, the many symbols, it's not as it, you know, if somebody is uneducated, reads the first chapter, it could be like, this is a UFO landing, you know. Okay, but it's not. It is a symbolic description of the heavenly world, and a lot of the Kabbalistic teachings is based on the symbols that appear and the orders or the order of the symbols that appear in the Ezekiel's revelation in the beginning of his book. However, what it says over there, that the whole nation of Israel, everybody, men, women, children, fetuses, saw in that moment of revelation more than Ezekiel saw in his revelation, which means everyone present on Mount Sinai had experienced a prophetic revelation higher than any prophet ever experienced. V'chulam yidabku b'chokhma elyona yikara, and all of them attached to the precious divine wisdom. חמש מדרגות של קולות ראו ישראל בהר סיני. Five levels of voices the people of Israel saw on Mount Sinai. בחמש מדרגות אלו ניתנה התורה. On these five levels, the Torah was given. מדרגה חמישית, I don't want to go into the... but there were five, and we know every human being has five potential levels of revelation. Nefesh is the lowest, Ruach, number two, Neshama, number three, Chaya, number four, Yechida, number five. No translation into English, okay? It's five levels of the soul. Each one of them is divided into five levels. Each one of them is divided into five levels. So we have 125 levels. Everybody present on Mount Sinai experienced all levels all together at once. Okay? Verse 3:13. Amar Rabbi Elazar said, בישראל כתוב פנים בפנים דיבר השם. And he says about the nation of Israel standing there on Mount Sinai, face to face God spoke to you. בחזקאל, in Ezekiel, it says, כאין, ודמות, it was like I could imagine, which means they were symbols. The Israelites saw it directly, not through symbols and shades. Ezekiel saw it like they were like partitions. He could see only shades and shadows through partitions. So he saw symbolic thing, but Amar Yuba, מה שראו ישראל, Rabbi Yehuda said, מה שראו ישראל, לא ראה נביא אחר. What every person was there on Mount Sinai saw, no other prophet said so. Kol sheken ma shera Moshe lo ra navi acher. And of course, Moses, what he saw at that moment, if his people saw so much, Moses was the leader of all of that, conduit all of that, he saw much above it. Shekatuv bo vayisham im avaya. He was there with God. It's like the shining mirror. What is a shining mirror? It's like you're watching right now, you're looking at the computer or a TV, and you see an image. You don't see a shadow that you have to guess. You see the way it is. Okay? It's again an example. As it says, it was direct and not through enigmas. Then it continues, there's a lot of that it says, but there's a part that I need to read every year just to emphasize what we want to get from this parasha. I'm jumping to verse 3:42. Tana Amar Rabbi Shimon. So we learn, Rabbi Shimon said, Katuv, וידבר אלוקים את כל הדברים. And God spoke all of these words. Not commandments, words. Okay, sayings. שלמדנו. As we learned. בשעה שהקדוש ברוך הוא נתגלה. When the Holy Blessed be He. When God revealed. והתחיל לדבר and He started to speak. העליונים והתחתונים התחלחלו. The upper worlds. The lower worlds, it all shook. Ve'yatzu nishmot Yisrael. And the souls of Israel left their bodies. Verse 3:43. Ve'lamadnu, and we learned, Mila yaita porachat milemala lemata. Every word that came from above was flying from above to below. Ve'nechkeka ba'ar baruchot ha'olam. And everybody, every soul of every Israelite on Mount Sinai could see the word coming from above. That's why, and they saw the words coming from above. And how every word came from above to below, and it was engraved in the four directions of the universe. Came down and went up. And when it went up, it has been fulfilled with the, from the mountains of pure persimmon, which is a very, very precious spiritual incense or perfume. When it mala betala ushalamala, then it could fulfill with the dew, the heavenly dew. And then that word came down and surrounded the soul of every one of the people of Israel and gave them their soul back. ומסבבת סביב ישראל ומחזירה להם נשמתם, ומסבבת וחוזרת ונחקקת במקומה בלוחות האבן. And then the interaction between the souls of Israel and the words created the engraving of that word in the stone tablets. And so it was with every word. Verse 344. אמר רבי שמעון, כל מילה ומילה הייתה מלאה בחוללו הטעמים, בחוללו דברי גזרות, שכר ועונש, סודות וסתרים, כאוצר הזה המלא מכל. Every word was full of reasons, explanations, cause and effect, logic that behind it, with all the cause and effect, which means punishment and reward, and all the secrets behind it, like a full treasure, which means the Israelites on Mount Sinai, they saw every word, not as a word, but they basically saw the matrix, how the universe is structured, how every action creates a reaction. They saw the programming of the universe. They saw when you do this, that's what happens. And that's the next stage. And then the next stage. And then it speaks about it, verse 345. ובשעה שמילה היא הייתה יוצאת נראית כאחת, וכשנחקקת במקומה בלוחות האבן נראים במילה, 70 ענפים שולים בתוכה ו-50 כתרים, and so on. They saw the word engraved in the stone, the sparks that came out, it was like a tree with 70 branches, and each branch branched out to 50 branches, and so on and so, which means basically they saw the real programming code of the whole universe. Seeing that was so illuminating that they arrived to the place of Adam and Eve before the sin, which means eating from the tree of life and feeling the greatness of the creation, the way the created created it for us to enjoy. Okay? No wonder we say that on Mount Sinai, we couldn't say else than that we'll do and we'll listen. When you see everything, you have no free will anyway. So being in a place like this, as it says, continues, "Vayu Israel roim ayin ba'ayin vayu smechim." And the people of Israel, each one of them, could see it eye to eye, and they were happy, fulfilled, excited. Verse 346, וכל הדורות שאחריהם, כולם נזמו שם, and all the generations that were supposed to come after those people present on Mount Sinai, they were there also, which means all the souls that came after that generation, they were there also, which means most of us. וכולם קיבלו התורה בהר סיני, and all of them received the Torah on Mount Sinai. שכתוב כי את אשר יש פה, ישנו פה עמנו, and Moses says, whoever is with us today and whoever is not with us today, they're still with us. וכולם היו כל אחד ואחד קראו לו, and each one of them, receiving like they are structured to receive. וכולם רואים מקבלים הדברים, and all of them, see and receive, and which means accept those words. Of course, there's much more to it. But here we have, like, do you want to know what's your purpose? This is your purpose, our purpose, each one of us. When we connect to the universe, to all the causes of the creation, to seeing, perceiving, understanding, feeling all the light of the creation and understand how it ticks, how it's working. And that gives you a true, real happiness, lasting happiness, okay? That's what we are created for. The problem is that that didn't last long. Why? Because when you have no free will, you can't hold on to it. And we had the free will, which means we had to wait for Moses for 40 days. He came down after 40 days. We couldn't have the patience like Adam and Eve. And the last 6 hours, like Adam and Eve, we failed. So the story goes on. But we had the taste. And more than that, we left with the Torah, which is basically the tools. It's not just tools, it's the wiring, the programming. It's everything that basically reconnects us to Mount Sinai. That's why we study Torah, we study Zohar. All of that we study for one purpose. Every Kabbalist will explain it to you. To reconnect us to that state of Mount Sinai. That state of prophecy, because as long as we do not connect to that, we have the memory inside us, every human soul. And as long as we are not connected to that, nothing will satisfy us. So yes, we live in a civilization that preaches to us money, power, all of that stuff that materialism has to offer us, and it doesn't satiate us. And as long as we are running after that, as long as we are pursuing it, we'll always feel the lack. The only way that we can have that revealed, we have to subdue the priest of evil, which is the king of evil, the evil inclination, and the priest of evil. And this is why we have the two parts of this parasha. It starts with the story of Yitro. And what is Zohar saying? Only when the dark side inside us is being subdued, only then we can awaken and to the true, real connection and happiness. You cannot leave your selfishness, your false belief system, all of that stuff of materialism. You can't leave that untouched and expect enlightenment, expect real true happiness. You have to take the two together, which means this is the cost, this is the reward. Okay, so as long as people are not committed, and that's a lesson of Parashat Yitro, as long as people are not committed to fight their selfishness, to fight all of those traits in our nature that the Torah is teaching us, that they are wrong. Those values are eternal. You cannot change them. You cannot fight with them. You cannot say, oh, that the Torah is something, it's an ancient document. It fit only to those days. It did not fit those days. It was a much, much ahead of its time. The Torah speaks about freedom. Remember, this is thousands of years before the Magna Carta. This is thousands of years before the French or the American Revolution. The right for happiness is here on Mount Sinai. All the revolutions that came later on, they were only just inspired by this revelation. So if you want to achieve prophetic wisdom, spiritual fulfillment, you cannot unless you choose the way of the Torah. Or there is a way of suffering. It's called Derech HaYisurim, the road of suffering, which means like Pharaoh in Egypt. you go through bumps, you go through suffering and misery. And so in humanity, most of it went through a lot of suffering and misery along the generations, little by little, to realize that cruelty, that and lust, you know, those sins, they are sins, and you cannot justify them by any means. Oh, you can, you know, launder them with and brainwash them with, you know, the media can say, oh, this is okay. It was not really, they didn't really mean to. Oh, they're really, listen, it doesn't matter. The values are eternal. And as long as we do not follow the values of the Torah, and that means fighting our own selfish, dark king and priest, those forces, which means the priest is giving us the power, which means when we do terrible stuff like drugs, like alcohol is a way to fulfillment, that's using the priest of On. Okay, On means also vigor. That you feel fulfilled and then poof, you drop and you're empty and you are simply in void. This is, you cannot go against it. Ito also is teaching Moses over here how to create it. It's called society. We know how society is a key issue. Every dictatorship is based on social pressure, on oppression, on brainwashing, on all what we know today, even. That's how regimes have the power to subjugate millions and billions of people. Only when you connect to your own judgment, by breaking your own king and priest of negativity, only then you can achieve that real true freedom, which is the ability, as the Zohar is speaking, not just the values, not just the laws of do not kill and do not steal. This is just a cover up. The purpose of a human being is not to be polite and nice. The purpose is illumination, spiritual awakening, fulfillment, prophetic experiences that can come only when we wage war against the king and priest of negativity, of evil, and that are, first of all, inside us. Without that, we cannot achieve the illumination. Without the illumination, it doesn't matter the food we eat, it doesn't matter the fortune we get, all the whatever, it doesn't matter what we consume. It's all shallow and short-lived. You want redemption, you have the cure here. Thank you so much. And good luck with the journey.